What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is our show for Monday, the 15th of April. And to my U.S. brothers and sisters out there, happy tax day. Happy tax day, everybody. Get ready to bend over, and they'll not show you what they're doing with your tax dollars. Anyway, we got a big show today. Super stoked to get through some stuff. Got a guest lined up for you, an old bud of ours, among other things. So let's get right to it. Bring in my friends. First up, Steve Sadak.
Loving that X-Men 97 and repping the man.
Oh, fuck.
Who is in that episode for 31 seconds. I just want to say no spoilers in the chat. I believe Eric has still not seen last week's episode.
Yep, let's be civil about it.
I'm really excited to talk about. I'm really excited for this week's episode to come out and for this week's Too Old for This Shit to come out.
Hell yeah, on both counts, dude. And fucking Thursday can't come fast enough, man.
Exactly.
Also up, he is indeed trying to catch up on X-Men 97. He's back from Eclipse Prison, Eric Siska.
Hello, yes. I mean, I have not gotten to that episode yet. I like to save them, do them together for right before our show, so I don't forget anything. But there's a t-shirt spoilers walking in here. T-shirt spoilers.
They call the t-shirts. It's not a huge spoiler.
Okay. Oh my God, the t-shirt spoiler struck again.
I did figure out that Future Baby was that character. So
I see. Yes.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of future babies, here's Chris Cavan.
No, Lucas, you told me you could get me that Ground Zero LP last week. No, I don't care if it's from Japan. Just get it to me here now. You told me you took my money and you said it was going to be here anyway.
Hey, Chris.
And I don't want magma. I don't care about them.
Chris.
It's so amazing.
What?
You have no inner monologue. You just read out loud, right?
Well, I have him on.
He's got.
I have to go. I have him on the speaker because, you know, Lucas is running a business at the same time, but I need to get my fucking LP. You know,
phone calls. I mean, you're on borrowed time right now, buddy. It's work time.
Oh, it's work. Okay. I'll stare and talk now.
I swear to God, dude, you're the last person I know that calls this many people for services.
Well, look, I don't like to. Oh, excuse me. You guys don't know that I don't like texting. Is this a new thing?
I know. Folks at home, Chris Cabin literally never responds to
terrible.
Anything.
Terrible. He's a fucking text.
I hate
text terrorist, a real piece of fucking shit.
I take planes to say I'm not texting. I do the whole thing. I'm big on it. Me and Carlos. But yeah, no, I like to call people. It's nice to hear people's voice.
Well, I'll tell you this then, asshole. You never fucking call me, so thanks for nothing.
Well, oh, dude, you're always texting me. How can you be doing both?
I wouldn't pick up. See? I wouldn't pick up.
Send you right to that voicemail prison.
He thinks I'm a scam artist.
If you called me, I'd be like, oh, God, something horrible.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or I'd be like, I'm not Chris's butcher. Things that were in release last week that continued this week got a little butchered. Let's take a look at the numbers. This is highest gross. By the way, in the week two of it all, say goodbye to fucking Monkey Man and say goodbye to the First Omen. Vaya con Dios from the top five.
Wow, that's fast.
I think I might go see this First Omen. What's it been called? Friend of the show who's on doing the Action Awards, Brandon, and I'll always butcher his last name.
Streisning.
Streisning. Was really raving about it. I was like, is it that good of a movie? So like now I'm like, I gotta go see this movie.
Look, it's good besides the final 5 minutes.
Okay. All right.
So that's fine. Yeah.
It's just fine. Okay.
It's fine.
I'm curious.
I'm seeing a lot of like 4.5 and 4 stars on Letterboxd. Kind of I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. But I want to maybe I'm on that trade. You never know, dude.
I'm going. I got to go. I like evil babies. I guess the first evil baby. So,
speaking of evil babies, though, Dune 2 making its way back to the box office top five here. In its now seventh week of release, which is wild.
Nice. Saying hello, maybe Timmy Chalamet might be in Jersey City right now, and I might have to go bother him.
Well, because you said he was Chris. He was texting us about this the other day. That's what friends do. So They're possibly the Dylan movies filming there?
Yes, the weird Dylan movies filming up the street where I used to live. They've got like fun. I was going to the bagel store, and then like the awning had changed to like some espresso place. And I'm like, did they get bought? And then I was like, oh no. And then I was looking around, and like everything had changed on that street, kind of a thing.
It was so weird. Get out your microscope and try to find them. You know,
I just think that movie's probably gonna suck, though, huh?
Probably.
Just
of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Clean Jade. He'll do that.
That's pretty good. You should play Dylan.
I should. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Glasses.
He wears glasses, right? No, that's Buddy Holly. Yeah. Hey, Steve. Good luck on your plane trip to Atlanta.
Anyone with glasses practice.
God, I don't know. I don't know about your police work there, Lou.
It's early. It's early on this Monday morn.
Sure. I'll say this: Dune Part Two, now the 7th highest-grossing IMAX title of all time.
Mm, nice,
pretty wild, shit. Eric, here you go, buddy. Still rocking and rolling. Kung Fu Panda 4
called it.
Prognosticator Dude, knows it.
Called it.
He's back.
Eric, have you seen this picture yet?
No. Why would I see it? No, but I'm rooting for it. This rooting is gonna be the one that's going to take over the box office for the entire year. Okay. Look at this. It's back. It's running up that ladder. Monkey Man, get out of here. There's a Kung Fu Panda.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah,
it's back for now, dude. But let's see what happens come Memorial Day, because from now till Memorial Day, there's no family movies coming out. But Memorial Day weekend, that shitty looking Chris Pratt Garfield movie comes out.
Yes.
So that'll be
exciting.
Poe's next adversary, the Chris Pratt Garfield movie. Now check this shit out. Happy to say that I was completely wrong on this. Turns out this little haunted movie's got some legs. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Jesus Lord, no.
I can't believe it. Another $5.8 million.
Yeah.
Not it's for me. I did not contribute to this box office at all. I'm a hero.
All right, maybe I'll stop the craze. The ghost girls don't even kiss, dude. So don't even worry about it.
If that's what you're going for, yeah, that's not happening.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
There's ghost kissing. There's no ghost kisses.
There's no ghost kissing.
There was a hint at it.
There was
extensive talk on Reddit, and Steve is
really
obviously wrote the original post on there.
What do these ghosts look like? Are they attractive?
Teenage girls is what they look like.
Oh, that's Eric. I'm not Dr. Beck over here.
That's why I was trying to cut you off at the pass, dude, before you said something nasty.
Oh, I never say anything bad.
That's true.
Now, the interesting thing, though, is that this movie has not done well globally. So, like, even though it's still holding kind of strong here, it's still not really good news for Sony and Columbia Pictures. Good news for Warner Brothers and Legendary. This motherfucker, Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, is still rocking and rolling. $15.4 million.
Wow. That was the right Empire to bet on if you were betting on Empire.
Absolutely.
If you're betting on cinematic empires. Yeah, exactly. Still pretty good. What's that? Like a 50% drop, which is nice. And $92 million in China. Turns out Chinese box office likes the Godzilla X Kong movie.
Big monsters always do well. Honestly, in most box office configurations, sure. Japan, China, here we like big monsters. Get the big monsters back.
That's why Weinstein Films did so well for so long.
Exactly.
It's a big monster at the box office.
But the big monster at the top of the box office this week was a little film called Civil War, the new one from Alex Garland that we will be reviewing momentarily. But $25.7 million marks the single biggest opening for an A24 film to date.
I'm happy that it's not, you know, look at this, a little film that could or whatever, right? It's not like a property, is what I mean. So it's kind of nice
exactly to see this. It's an original thing with, you know, some real good actors in it, but not like, you know.
But it is a remake of a
superhero
war.
Movie person.
What? Right, but it is a remake of a war from the 1860s.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Look. But it's way back. Not everybody's seen that one, Eric. You know, it's you don't have to necessarily. Although, and also, it's nice to know that everybody came out for Alex Garland's last movie. You know, it was It's good that he's doing it.
What is this? What is this?
Just a weepy, I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
Wait, did he see? Really? He's upset about something? I don't know anything about this.
Before the movie even came out, he was saying, like, I'm quitting filmmaking because too many people, like, are mean to me about my movies. And, like, it was, I guess, because this movie hadn't really come out yet, so it could only have been talking about the reception to men.
Which, I mean,
like, I mean, like, you made a shitty movie. It's okay, man. We all do it. Like, everybody does something shitty in their job. It happens.
I mean,
overestimated the appeal of Rory Kinnear, which has happened to many of them.
It's okay. It's okay, man. Don't worry about it. Come back. You know, I assume this is going to be like the Todd Field thing where he's like, well, this is obviously going to be my last movie. Oh, you gave me money? Okay. Another movie. Let's do another movie then. Let's do it.
He makes wishy-washy movies. He always has. He always will. Yeah.
I really feel like, especially, you know, filmmaking is such a competitive thing, and like people have their, you know, desperate to make to break in the business and blah, blah, blah. And like, I say, once you say it's your last movie, that's it. Like, literally, you could never make a movie ever again. Sorry, dude. That's what you said.
Turning your director, you know, Directors Guild card, the whole thing, whatever. And also, I mean, not for nothing, because I feel like Tarantino's just going to do this too. He's just going to move to TV.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, Alex has already moved to TV. One of the best things he's done in years was Devs, and it was an 8-part television show, and it was fucking great. And it actually, like, ended well. That's my beef with this dude. We'll get into it when we talk about Civil War, maybe, but like, the guy's got third act problems with a lot of his movies.
Sure.
So whatever. But yeah, the whole like, well, I guess I'm done then. Like, okay.
This is my last movie, everybody. Hope you're happy. Okay. Exactly. You should have given me more money. You should have done that.
Does anybody give a shit? You won't have this millionaire to kick around anymore.
I mean,
exactly.
Don't read the comments. There's a chat in front of me. I'm not reading any of this shit.
Oh, dude, you don't want to. It gets pretty nasty.
I wouldn't, Eric.
Pretty nasty.
We'll say over on the Patreon poll for this week, it looks like, look at that. Look at that. 40. It was a tie, but 40% of folks nailed it just right, between 23 and 29 million. This movie did kind of overperform just a little bit and what it was forecasted to be. So,
I'll make another movie. Oh, maybe I'll make, I hope he makes another movie.
Well, you should just keep doing it. Like, name the next one Vietnam War so that people will get like confused and be like, oh, this is about the old one. See the movie. Let's go see it.
Yeah, and then just do some insane pairing where it's like Mexico and Vietnam are fighting together or whatever.
Who cares? SEO, baby. It works every time.
So that's what's going on around the box office. You know, the many, many flaws in Civil War, you know, notwithstanding, like we said, very cool to have an original property top the box office, because I can't say that come October, we're going to be saying the same thing when this fucking God damn Joker 2 comes out. And we are going to talk all about it right now. Well, as much as we can, I guess I should say, in a little segment we like to call Trailer Segment. Here we go.
So we're going from the People's Joker to the Joker nobody asked for, which is really exciting.
First of all, everyone asked for this movie. Are you kidding me?
Not in this room.
Honestly, I watched the trailer. I think it doesn't look too bad. I think it looks kind of fun.
I haven't seen the trailer yet. I knew we were going to do it for this. So this will be my live reaction.
I was keeping it fresh as well here. But folks at home, if you want to watch along with us, in the show description here on YouTube, which, by the way, hey, like this video, give it that thumbs up, and subscribe to the channel. Help us jumpstart that algorithm.
Yeah, let me get a 2 for Joker Foley Ducks. Thanks very much.
Yep. I feel it's just going to be a lot of Joker, or if they're feeling generous, Joker 2.
I don't even want to say Foley Adieu. for the
you know you don't want movie, you don't want to say it like gentlemen. You don't want to say it like that, first of all.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't see that. I hear they treat the animals terrible. They like stuff their liver and then they get them.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
The Joker foie gras, right? That's what I'm seeing. Okay. Okay, never mind. Whoops.
Joker foie gras. It's like, so it's foie gras, but you put a little like green and purple food coloring in it.
Oh man.
Yes, that's, you make it bad is what you do.
That's twisted.
That's how it happens.
All right, but yes, here we go. Joker Folie à Deux. This comes out October the 4th. Once again, Todd, the fuck is that guy's name? Todd? Which
Phillips.
Todd? Phillips. There we go. Well, we were just talking about Todd Fields.
Yeah, that'll fuck you up.
Of all the cinematic Todds, but yes, he's back. Joaquin's back. And Lady Gaga, who's also been in movies, is in this as Harley Quinn. So, all right, we're going to check it out right now on the official Warner Brothers YouTube channel there. That's the one that we are watching. Here we go. Joker Folie à Deux in 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
Hey, Fleck, you got a joke for us today?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they gave him a name. I forgot about that.
Right,
too.
Arthur Fleck, I think it was. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And apparently this is going to be just like a musical throughout, which the more you're not doing scenes of talking, good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, totally like go crazy with it. Already that looks very nice. All right. How's the voice?
I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
Just a normal voice instead of talking. Not doing the Jersey accent.
So we're not doing where she was a psychiatrist,
right?
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
Right? Sure. I mean,
I'm liking this.
I think it looks kind of fun. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if we can keep it as like theatrical and unconventional,
right?
But like this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And let's avoid any kind of Robert De Niro type character.
That's what I'm curious about this, because this signifies a shift away from. Oh, look at that, Steve Coogan. A shift away from just copying Scorsese multiple times.
Well, that I haven't seen New York in a while. Maybe there's a shot there.
Oh, so. Yeah. Okay.
Moved on. Yeah.
Joaquin's going to have a saxophone at one point. Yeah. Okay.
I want to see the real you.
Dude, I've seen people talking about this lipstick shot. Isn't it? Oh, it's mind-blowing. Look at the lipstick on the mirror.
It's a fun moment for the trailer, but stop acting like it's revolutionizing cinema.
I know. No, I mean, it's exactly.
It's cute. People have done that before, you know? Like,
yeah, plenty of times.
Wait, so you're telling me that they position the camera in such a way that you see something that you're only supposed to see only if that camera was positioned in that certain way. They've never done that before in film. Oh, never, ever done that before.
Oh, my God. Did you see the cable guy where Jim Carrey puts his nipple on the glass? Revolutionized cinema.
You tell me one musical where they have a bunch of colored umbrellas, okay? You just tell me one goddamn musical that has a bunch of colored umbrellas. You can't do it. You can't fucking do it.
Wait, the umbrellas of what? Where's that?
Is that America? Oh, well, it doesn't count then. All right, so fuck you.
So if we're just catching strays about things we see on the online, I saw the other day the AV Club, which is just in name only.
They're still doing that, huh?
Yeah.
I thought it was gone.
What's his face? Damien Chazelle is out of movie jail because he's just announced a new project. I'm like, he was never in movie jail. Babylon was like last year. Like, and I mean, like,
yes,
and like, yes. No, yeah, it was, you know, people didn't like it, etc. But like, that's not movie jail. Like,
no,
fucking, you know,
Richard Kelly has been in movie jail.
Exactly.
If he comes out, fuck up.
when he comes out with a movie, you could say so-and-so is out of movie jail.
Yes.
Movie jail is not like 6 months long.
Children, much like Alex Garland, think that any criticism is some type of a jail sentence.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it just means you made a movie that not everybody liked. It's okay. Calm down.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's like, that's really ignorant, Steve. I can't believe that. Like, do people know like how long it takes to make a movie? What are you talking
exactly
about?
He just announced a new movie. Like, it just, his last movie was just last year. It's totally fine. Like, people take, most directors take 2 to 3 years between movies.
And there are people who love that movie. Yes, I'm never going to understand their brains and how they work, but they do love it. So
why
do you care? Like, I hated it.
He belongs in jail.
I actually liked about half.
He's making a jail movie. His next movie is a prison movie.
Yes. Yeah.
First Man, great movie.
Good movie.
Gotta see that.
It's really good.
First Man's fine.
Yeah, it didn't really do it for you. Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
First Man and Whiplash are the two of his I like.
Whiplash I liked.
Yeah, those are the two I like. The rest of them I'm mostly negative on. That first one's not bad either, Guy and Madeline. That wasn't bad either.
I still think La La Land is completely harmless and pretty to look at, and don't watch it looking for anything else and you'll be totally fine.
I think that's the recipe for this new Joker movie as well.
right. Hey, you know what's fucking crazy?
What's that?
Next week we're gonna be in Atlanta, Georgia. Whoa, already
crow.
The run of spring shows is upon us, my friends. We are stopping off in Atlanta next Thursday night. Wow. 4:25, folks. We are talking gamer. Still haven't seen it yet. I'm holding off. You know, I'll be watching it in the hotel room the night before.
Love it. Love that for you.
I've been 96 minute travesty.
I've been getting myself reacquainted with the Neville Dean Taylor filmography. It is such rich work. Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair trying to kill their kids. That wasn't bad.
Oh, no, I didn't care for that movie. You know why? Because I thought that movie was particularly toothless. You tell me that's what that movie's going to be about, you better fucking trauma that shit up. And
Which one was this?
Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I never saw
it. Oh, never saw it. No, I saw Mom and Dad Save the World.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's a better movie. Much better movie.
That's a much, much, much better movie. Yes. And then just a few weeks after that, it's like, we're going to play that show. It's going to be so rocking. We're going to have to like take a few weeks to recuperate. You know what I mean? Also, probably sort of wean off that Atlanta hangover. You know, we're going out after the show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a few weeks later, we're kicking off the 2024 We Hate Movies Texas Two-Step. First up in Houston, where we are going to play for the very first time at the Houston Improv, talking about this sucker, RoboCop 2.
Mm.
We got Kid Gangsters.
Kid Gangsters Nuke. You got to come out to the show to Nuke. We're going to be doing Nuke live on the air.
Oh, sure.
Live on the stage, rather.
RoboCop's real name is what, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if everyone here has listened to the VHS trailer game as its own show that just came out today.
Mm-hmm. Axel
That's
Foley.
Right.
No.
Yes, but no, great point. Another way that we are just continuing to plug the run of shows here for the next couple of weeks. We released, it's like a half hour long, 8-round, super expanded edition of the VHS trailer game. It's on the free feed right now, folks. Just dropped this morning, as a matter of fact. And we are talking about not only RoboCop 2 and Gamer on that episode, but we are also talking about our third show.
From It's a Dark Night.
Dark Night. Steve, I did an Instagram story today to plug some shows.
Uh-huh.
I found that fucking song is available on Instagram to put into your story.
Ooh, I like that.
Right in. I put it right in.
Honey, your hand like a dead man.
Sorry.
From a white oak tree?
Yep, from a white oak tree.
But hey, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that movie. You know, Harvey Keitel. You forget how many people are in that sucker.
Mm-hmm. Loaded cast. Mm-hmm. And apparently we'll be doing maybe some karaoke at Cap City Comedy. One song karaoke of that. But yeah, all ticketing information, of course, over at whmpodcast.com. Those tickets are flying, folks. It's going to be a fun run of shows. Very, very excited to get back out on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's see what we got here. We've been talking about it. a lot up until this point, but so really to get into the review of Civil War here, I was let down by this. I'll start by saying you can't make a movie out of a what if American Civil War and then have it be this fucking toothless and saying nothing. Like, I appreciate if you want to make a movie about war photographers and like the struggle of that life and the toll it takes. I think that's all great. The candy coated shell around that of a what if American Civil War is meaningless in the context of what the movie's actually doing.
I was also sort of let down by it, but you know, it's fine. I feel like they're trying to like, oh yeah, Texas, California Alliance and all this stuff as a way to say, don't think about the politics at all. Mm-hmm. Just think about, would you actually want this to happen as you're seeing all these people being killed and the tanks and the bang, bang, boom, booms, which were good. And the soundtrack is pretty
sound
good
design.
As well.
Sound design, excellent. Soundtrack, I think, Chris, you and I are on the same page. Some of the worst needle drop placement. Not that the songs are bad,
no.
But the needle drop placement I thought was
awful. I like the last song by Suicide.
Suicide, I mean, I think they used two Suicide songs.
They did.
The opener one, they open and close it with Suicide. But I do like the songs for the most part, but like the De La Soul drop is about as bad as you get. I don't know if I've seen a worse one.
I was like in the process of putting candy in my mouth and my hand just like stopped at that moment, you know.
It's just these moments like I agree with Andrew. I think there is a timid level. The timidity of this is its problem. It doesn't want to offend anybody, really. It wants to be a big tent. It wants to have as many people come in as possible. Well, the problem is that you dilute it, you know, the urgency of everything, the detail and nuance of everything goes down with that. So like, I'm just watching it for the action, and the action is okay. And the acting
It is just, it's a centrist epic where it's like, it's got the South Park morality of maybe we're all a little wrong here.
Something we've never had before. A centrist epic. It's not like that's every movie. That's interesting.
I haven't seen the movie, and I do want to get to it because I do like a lot of Garland stuff. I do, except for men. It's a bummer to like, especially to make that movie now. You know what I mean? Yeah. When we are, as we say, so divided, and then to say Civil War, and then to just make it like this, like cockamamie, just choose your own adventure, which states are going to align with each other, which make no sense with the American political system of the past 100 years. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Well, the thing is, a British person inherently can never understand America. I'm sorry. You could come here and make all of our movies and act in them, but you'll never really get it because your mind's always on thinking about what's going on in the Shire.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit.
Like the raid on the White House towards the end, not to really spoil. It's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer.
It happened.
You saw all of that in the trailer. Yeah.
It's like an attack on a 1980s drug kingpin and the Secret Service with like the Uzis and shit. I was getting vibes of, I guess, Scarface in a way.
That's it could be like it's a total end of like a canon movie or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is, again, fine, but like, you know, Canon had the decency to make shit set in places like Parmistan and whatnot. You know what I mean? Again, the fact that it's the actual United States,
if they're going to make it like a canon movie, it has to be trashy and fun. It can't be so self-serious. It can't be all about tension, which is what most of this movie is about. It has to be a little funny, too. It's a little fucking funny that America is dissolved into fucking civil war again. It's a little ridiculous, you know.
It's tiptoeing around everything, but you know, at least there's some good performances in it. Dunst, Clemens, etc.
Dunst is great.
I thought the core four of them were great in the van. Fucking Stephen McKinley Henderson, dude. Like, here's the thing: the best parts of that movie are the multiple shots of him smoking weed.
It's just
quick question.
Because I don't know if I'm gonna have time to get to it before streaming. This might actually kick me to the theaters. Sure. Does he pick up a gun at some point? You give him with an AR-15, you've got
That's definitely not. He's doing some fun driving at one point. Maybe
It is fun driving.
Yes,
it's very fun driving.
So it's very uneven. Yeah. It's just it's a shoulder shrug of a movie, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, Steve, I think you would still benefit from seeing it, like not waiting for streaming, see it on a big screen, see it in the theater. The sound design, again, really incredible. And it's fucking gorgeous looking.
Looks good.
And yeah, just getting Kirsten Dunst leading a movie. She's fucking awesome. She's been awesome for 30 years, you know? So it's cool to see her get to do a movie like this, honestly. Better than Men. Better than The Man That Came After That and The Man That Came After That and The Man That... Remember how fucking stupid the end of that movie was?
Pretty dumb.
Anyway, so that... We'll cut it there because I feel like if we get too much into it, there might be some spoilers. You don't want to go too far. Eric, we'll save the other review for after guest spot because our bud is here ready to roll, if that sounds good.
Absolutely.
So I feel like we've mentioned him before here and there, of course, but our good bud Justin La Liberty of OCN Distribution and also the brand new Cinematograph boutique DVD line. Let's get this guy in. Here he goes. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Justin. It's been a minute. Yeah, my friend.
Nice
how are
to
you?
See you again.
It's been a while.
So, dude, we wanted to have you on, especially this month, because once again, the paths of the We Hate Movies guys and the awesome work that you do are crossing. Of course, last scene when we did that, I'd like to think, very entertaining commentary for Scanner Cop that Vinegar Syndrome put out. But you are putting out a Cinematograph release of Paul Schrader's Touch with an essay by Chris Cabin. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's out this month. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's it. I have my copy here, too.
Now, he hit the word count you gave him. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. He did. Yeah.
Like, all right.
And he's writing back to you and he's calling you. And we don't
wow,
get that.
Wow. Weird.
I responded to Justin's emails. Promptly. I was very nice.
That's insane, especially because I know for a fact we pay you much more. So that's fucked up.
Well, a little bit more.
So I'm really excited for this, by the way.
Yeah, it's Touch, great.
So I'm very excited for this release.
But Justin, I kind of maybe got a little ahead of myself because I was so excited to show the fucking awesome cover art, by the way. But tell folks watching and then listening a few days from now, what the deal is with Cinematograph and what you do for it.
So Cinematograph it's a sub-label of Vinegar Syndrome. So I work for OCN Distribution, and Vinegar Syndrome is our sister company, which is boutique label focused on genre films, classic erotica, you know, the things we all love and hold dear.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, Cinematograph got born out of Vinegar Syndrome and just kind of my passion for, you know, American cinema, but like not necessarily the horror and action movies we typically do from Vinegar Syndrome, more dramas, comedies. It's very filmmaker forward. So I'm really looking for films by recognizable filmmakers featuring recognizable people that most audiences have not heard of or have just not been on Blu-ray or in circulation for a while or had releases that sucked. You know, it's kind of an opportunity to shine a light on films like Touch. And next month we have Dangerous Game from Abel Ferrara. And we did Red Rock West, Little Darlings kind of disc debut came out. And
going south, dude.
Yeah. It's, you know, everything is just very rooted in Americana and trying to bring movies out that otherwise either haven't come out or just need a better release.
Now, what is the, when you're so like you're the curator for Cinematograph, right? So you have no one breathing down your neck about like what titles to do, right? This is your baby.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, major envy points right there, buddy. That what a fucking gig if you can get it. But what is the I see some folks in the chat here. What are like front to back, like start to finish, I want to do this movie to, you can buy this at vinegarsyndrome.com. What's that process like for you, you know, licensing this stuff, the materials, et cetera?
So, you know, with Cinematograph, if you go on the Vinegar Syndrome site, there's like, you know, kind of a blurb about what it is. And it's these kind of forgotten American films that are studio films. And then there's also the independent side. So, you know, I started it, the kind of dates are end of the 60s, you know, late 68, fall of the production code, filmmakers can kind of do more so whatever they're looking to do. So I really wanted to have it begin with this kind of renegade spirit, the new Hollywood, and then ending it 1999, you know, like the Matrix and the 2000s kind of pushed everything into a different direction.
Right.
And looking at, you know, where these studio films start and where like the independent films start and kind of how they converge amongst each other. So the, you know, the process is so different when you're dealing with a studio versus when you're trying to find the rights to some guy's movie that, you know, he made like right. in 1972 with yeah. money from whoever. So right. you kind of run into these weird situations where with a studio movie, you know where you're going. You know, right. I have to go to MGM, I have to go to Paramount, I have to go to Universal. And then that is a very easy, you know, maybe expensive process where you're just, you know, dealing with a major company. And then when you're dealing with these independent films, it can be, you know, the filmmaker might own the rights, his dentist might own the rights, like, you know, his father might own the rights, that, you know, everybody could be dead, and it's like you're dealing with a bunch of estates. So
have you ever gone directly to the mafia for movie rights yet?
No, fortunately no. Yeah. I don't know that I'd be here if I had,
you will be releasing this one in 4K, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We've got a few years to go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, you know, it really is just kind of choose your own adventure where you're deciding, you know, we'd front loaded Cinematograph with studio titles because it made sense and because we had the ability to do it just because of the nature of, you know, working within the Vinegar Syndrome ecosystem. We already had those relationships. If I had started this label autonomously, I would have needed, you know, money, and I would have needed to establish those connections from the beginning, which would have been a giant uphill battle. So I was able to, you know, kind of work within those studio deals that we already had going on. And then coming up is where the independent stuff comes in, because then, you know, I can navigate those for a longer period of time, work with the people that, you know, are harder to reach. With the studio titles, you know, despite some big names that are untouchable, like I couldn't get Jack Nicholson, you know, nobody's, Jack's too busy like watching basketball. Like, he's not, he doesn't care about the Western he made in the 70s. Right. But outside of that, it's, you know, you go to agents and managers, you go on IMDb Pro and kind of figure out where people are and how to contact them. When you're working with the independent films, it's just like, you know, you kind of start small and like work within some type of web, like who might know this person, who knows this person. And you're just kind of playing a game of like phone tag. So it just takes a lot more work.
So something like Touch, like Schrader is an interesting guy. Did a studio have this when you started out for with somebody?
Yeah, that's with MGM. So that's
okay. Yeah.
Part of our, you know, our ongoing deal with MGM. So Dangerous Game, which is coming out in May, is also MGM. And Schrader is a very public person. You know, it's you can't go online without like seeing Schrader's name pop up somewhere. And, you know, he's reachable. Andrew, you and I, you know, Jacob Burns connection, like we've encountered Schrader over the years. And
many times. Oh, yeah.
Very open to working on the release, which is great. We have
that's awesome.
Screening coming up at the Roxy in New York City with him. And
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'll be doing a live Q&A with Paul Schrader, which is
incredible.
You know, one of us is probably going to get canceled that night. So
what date is that?
It's April 30th.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I think I'm in town.
I'm downtown there.
I saw you've done there's been a couple of Cinematograph things at the Roxy now. That's an awesome relationship to have. Great theater for presenting stuff. So what do you got? You've mentioned some stuff coming down the line. I know that, like, one of the things I love about you guys at Vinegar Syndrome, you keep like tight-lipped about what is coming down the line, but can you drip out anything for folks here? Stuff incoming?
No. No, I mean, you have the May title got announced ahead of time because it's coming out in our like big halfway to Black Friday sale.
Oh, okay.
So Dangerous Game got announced ahead of time. I will say that in July there's two Cinematograph releases. So, you know, that's something people probably don't know yet, which is exciting. So there are two in July, and then there's pretty much one every month. You know, some months will be two, but it's a pretty much a monthly thing.
I want a Dangerous Game is incredible. If anybody has not seen it yet, you should really pick it up. It's one of Abel Ferrara's best. Also, maybe my favorite performance. It's my favorite performance by Madonna on screen. Period. It's the one.
Wait a second, dude. I know how much you love her role as sword fighter in Die Another Day.
Look, you know what? I have to have a tear here. That's number three. Sure. Okay. Number one.
Where does Dick Tracy? Yeah, Dick Tracy. Where does Dick Tracy fit into
that's
this?
Number two, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's where
I'm putting it. Of course. You know,
Swept Away remake was four. Then
I guess way down. You can put that way down there. That's fine.
The music video work is top notch, though.
Oh yeah. Some of that Fincher stuff.
No, Justin, I was hinting at one of the upcoming releases that I was helping you with, which I will not say here, but I'm very excited for that one too. Is that one of the July ones?
It is, yes. Ooh, and nice. I'm enormously excited because that's also a UHD release.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll be plugging that one for sure because I'm very excited for that to come out. Well, listen, man, we're stoked to have you on. We really wanted to just help spread the word about Cinematograph. You're doing amazing work and a job that I'm very jealous of you for. What a fucking cool thing to be. You know, you wake up every day and you're like, yep, let's make some fucking Blu-rays, man. Let's make some magic happen. So it's really right on. So folks can just vinegarsyndrome.com. That's the best place to buy stuff if you want to help support Cinematograph. Right on. All right, dude. Well, hey, great checking in with you, and we'll have you back another time to plug some more stuff. Maybe in July when that next one comes out that I'm very thrilled for.
Absolutely. Thanks. All right, dude.
Good. Take it easy. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
man.
Thanks, dude.
Chris Cabin, very excited that you will be in print once again, dude.
Yeah, I have my copy here. It was very nice to
what
show.
Is what is Touch? Because I've never seen it.
It's about a faith healer. Skeet Ulrich is a faith healer,
and he
gets Christopher Walken is. It's based on an Elmore Leonard book.
So
Christopher Walken's like a manager, a former preacher, faith healer type guy who is now like a businessman and like tries to make money in LA, and he has Bridget Fonda is his partner, and they try to essentially make money off of Skeet Ulrich as a it seems like, at least from the, I mean it's very complicated, he has the touch, he can heal people.
I have not seen it either. I'm excited to check it out, this release, and read your essay since you won't read my texts. But
look, spend as much time with the text as I did with this thing. Maybe we'll talk.
Publish my texts in one of these releases.
Please do.
I see LL Cool J is himself in the cast listing. Is that true?
He is, but only for a very little bit. But he is at the opening of the movie, and he does set the tone very well.
Cool.
Dangerous Game has Madonna's best performance. This has Tom Arnold's best performance by a mile.
Beats True Lies.
Oh yeah. Oh, I think by quite a margin.
Whoa.
I mean, it's cool. Not like True Lies is like a fun performance. This is like he's actually committed.
Yeah,
sure. Using elements of his personality that like are, you know, other people would try to put into awkward spaces. He actually knows how to funnel them the right way, put them in the right direction, and it actually gives the character some emotional base that really matters.
Mm. Oh, look at that. Eric, movies that we weren't particularly excited about, but we did, you know.
Yes.
In earnest, we check stuff out and review them. The new Nick Cage monster movie, Arcadian.
Garbage.
limited release right now. It's going to Shudder, I believe, later in the year, but they have not announced a date just yet. This was at South By a few weeks back.
Monster, right. Is it like kaiju, or monster is it like someone's?
It's exactly A Quiet Place, but with Nicolas Cage, basically.
Oh, that's not okay.
And Nicolas Cage disappears for most of it for a period of time.
That was a bit of a bummer. Yeah, it's, you know, long story short, it's a. And again, funny enough, speaking of like the wishy-washiness of Civil War details, there's wishy-washiness as the details of what's going on here.
It's,
I think they're like
thinner.
Yeah, like maybe monsters, but maybe also they're aliens. Like it's not whatever, but basically
and they attack at night. They attack at night. And every during the day, they're kind of just walking around, snotting around the countryside. And
yes,
then they're just like, okay, I guess time for bed, time for the monsters to smack at the door all night. And it's just,
well, it also reminds me of that was it an A24 movie called It Comes at Night with Joel Edgerton or some kind?
Put me to sleep.
Yes.
This movie made me fall asleep for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep through it. I got to say, I thought Cage was actually pretty good. It is a bummer that he is sidelined for the vast majority of the movie. Because, I mean, it's Nicolas Cage. That's literally why you're watching the movie. Otherwise, it's one boy. He has two sons that he's like doing survival stuff with. Like, that's the world. And so the one son is the kid who was like the alt-right little brother in Knives Out.
Okay.
And then the other guy has been in some stuff and it escapes me now. And I mean, they're like fine, but Cage is like literally laying on a cot in the back room for most of the movie, which is a bit of a bummer because I think he's actually good. There's no moments of what we call caging out these days. Mm. He's giving a more grounded kind of dramatic performance. But like, Eric, like you said, you don't know anything about these people.
You don't know like anything about it. You don't know about anything that happened in the world. You don't know why anything's like this. You don't know anything about the town. You don't know nothing about the people, nothing about the individual relationships of their family. You know nothing. Yeah. It's a problem. And I would kill it for some caging out versus him sleeping on a cot.
Yeah, I will say, credit where credit's due. I think the creature stuff, like the design and that the effects, cool. Very well done.
There's some
very
actually
eerie,
really creepy moments that were good. And I was like, okay, yes. All right, I'm coming back to life. Oh, he's in bed again.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, there's, I think on IMDb, it says the Cage's character is named Paul. Mm. But he's not addressed as Paul once in the movie. No.
He might as well be this man, you know, just a, it's, well, it's so thin. It is so thin.
Isn't it more interesting where they just throw you in like that and then they don't have to write? Isn't that so great when you just don't have to write anything and just be like, oh, what did you do today? Shh.
Yeah.
Oh, where's the plants? Shh.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping? Shh.
It's exactly what it is. And I mean, you know, I'm all for like minimalist cinema. Like you can pull off stuff like this, but like, this just doesn't cut it. There's just not enough else going on. The filmmaking isn't interesting enough to distract me from the fact that I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? And there's no big reveal or anything where, you know, there's no revelation where you're like, oh, that's what's been going on. Mm. Like it's none of that. It's just like, you know, let's say another thing. It's like 90 some odd minutes. So that's pretty cool. Might even be 89 minutes. To get to that last sequence where there's monsters versus people, it's a big siege. That's cool shit, but you have to wade through a lot of question marks and shoulder shrugs to get there.
89 minutes feels like 2.5 hours.
It really did, dude. I was watching it last night. I literally started the screener and you texted like, I just watched it. What a snore. And I was like, it's kind of late and I'm starting this movie.
Oh, no.
For what it's worth, you know, there's worse shit out there. I have to say, like, when it gets to Shudder, check it out because there's dozens of worse movies on Shudder. Do not even worry about that. But there's also, there's gonna inevitably be better movies on Shudder too. So that's, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, kind of a letdown. I honestly thought I was gonna go to IMDb and it would be that annoying thing where you look at Cage in the casting and he's just credited as the father. Right.
You're like, that's what it feels like.
Great. Well,
that means it's mythical, don't you know? That means it's, right, you know, it's got legacy.
Yeah. That's honestly, dude, I think that's kind of what they're sort of trying to shift for also.
Almost biblical, work. You might say. Who gives a shit? Like, really?
Speaking of who gives a shit, I feel like the people making this week's secret movie didn't give a shit. This one Steve is going to tell us all about right now.
Yeah, this is City Rush 3, directed by George Tudis. Directed and, I should say, starring George Tudis.
Oh, really?
George Tudis is the
guy. He's the guy with the gun here.
Yeah, he's the guy with the gun.
He's the guy who looks like Eric Roberts.
Oh, that is Eric Roberts.
God damn it.
He will not this movie, George Tunis, I discovered a couple weeks ago with a little film called Reloaded 2, which is almost exactly the same movie as this. all of these movies are, he plays a super secret agent or a detective that is over being that. And he's in a bar, the same bar in both movies, by the way, because that's like the location his grandfather has or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, he gets a phone call in this movie from Eric Roberts. He's like, Ace, by the way, his secret agent Ace. He's like, you have to come back. The clown has taken over the city.
Oh, no, the clown.
The clown is this guy. Joker? Yeah, he's like a Joker type.
Is he there on the cover on the right there, Steve?
He is.
Oh, that's like a Sid Haig knockoff.
He's a Sid Haig knockoff. Oh, it's so good.
And did he also face off against the cold bird?
No.
Okay.
The clown is, it is like, the clown's taking over the shitty Ace. It's about national security. Oh, by the way, I'm only in this one scene. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, my God. Quick question. Did you see the first two movies, City Rush 1 and 2?
I did not.
Were you lost?
I wasn't until someone was a cyborg, and I was like, hold on. Because it happens like,
they're like, I'm shoving a cyborg to help you.
Because it's like, oh, no, yeah, we killed her with the special bullets. We have this cyborgs. Okay, cool. There, it's so good. I mean, like, it's $2.99. It's 55 minutes long. The first 5 minutes is really slow opening credits, and you better believe the last 10 minutes are the slowest end credits you'll ever see in your life. So it's about 35 minutes of content. The bullets are completely CGI, absolutely gorgeous. The action sequences are terrible.
Oh, beautiful.
This is advanced level bad movies. Like, you know, it's even like, it gives Tommy Wiseau a name, you know, a run for his money, I should say.
The stuff that would only play, like, you know, you can say like, oh, this would only play at the Anthology Film Archives and be good.
Yes.
And then there's the other side of that where like, you can rent it out for one-time screenings if you want
to. Yes, you sure can. Yep.
Yes, and they will play trailers for your movies too, and they look like this thing.
Yeah, they do.
Just all fake, just like in a bedroom with a green screen.
Yeah, George Tunis, he's got a lot of movies out. They're all on Amazon. My wife and I are excited to give a movie that he's created called Dr. Jason a spin.
Oh, I'm on the page for it right now. It looks very good.
Yes, invited by a desperate woman, the psychiatrist and ex-military Nick Jason helps her demonic possessed sister and gets into a deadly hell trip of a parallel world. So that sounds like more than he could pull off.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's stuff. City Rush 2 I haven't checked out. Reloaded 2 is better than Reloaded 1, in case you're looking for
that's what everybody says. I've heard that.
I've heard it, by the way. Reloaded 2.
It is.
he's yet to make a movie that's legitimately feature length.
No.
Are they all like these 55, 45?
Yeah, exactly. So I will say these aren't recommends. It is kind of a seeing is believing. I would love more people to be hip to these because they're so insane. I want people who are better at clipping things to put these on the internet so I don't have to. it's kind of worth the spin in a jaw dropping way. Don't start it before 12 or 5 a.m. There's no reason to be watching this any earlier than that.
Got it. The audacity to pay $2.99 to
rent
one of these.
That's the problem.
You better rope this shit into my Prime membership, buddy. What are we doing?
You might want to check out your friend Cam Rippey or whoever might have these. Because
he's back home. Oh, by the way. He returned. Oh, He was up in Canada for a couple of weeks. But
thank goodness.
I mean, honestly, dude, Cam Rippey fucking renting on Prime. Why is this not straight to in full on YouTube? Not rented on YouTube.
Great point.
In full posted your fake little web action movie to YouTube.
Well, that you could do that the hidden way and then make them pay a dollar for an actual. If you know where to go, you can get it for free. But then, you know what? You get some of the suckers with the dollar.
That was, I found Dr. Jason. He's on Tubi.
This guy hiding in the bowels of Tubi. That's that sounds about right, does it not?
He has Dr. Jason and Reloaded 2.
Okay, so I think Reloaded 2 was free. That's why we watched it, because I wouldn't have rented something Yeah.
That's the right call.
But you got to pay for City Rush 3. So definitely just give Reloaded 2 a spin. You'll get an idea of what it is.
Sure. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you've brought this all to our attention. And to the folks at home, Steve, it's a real gift.
It's really important.
I'm just wondering about the other City Rushes. Just, you know, if there are any... If they're worth maybe more
about
the
robots and stuff, that's important to know about.
I just love that we're chasing the clown and it's national security, but then also cyborgs.
That's also, like, may not be.
And to be clear, Steve, you could have been sleeping.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay, that's okay. I really need that to be clear. That,
could have been sleeping, could have been reading, could have been doing anything.
You know, yeah, just living life. Yeah, no, I get that. Okay.
Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, man, but that is Secret Movie for this week. And that is going to bring to a close this week's On Screen Live. Now, just a reminder. Good God. Speaking of Eric Roberts, last week we did indeed drop the latest Once in a Lifetime talking all about just what the doctor ordered.
Mm-hmm.
A real mind-bending journey into madness right there.
Nice.
So that came out. And then also this month's Melrose 210. Fucking school shooting, and then Billy.
I want to marry me, Allison.
By the way, someone online filled us in what was going on. So we mentioned in that episode when the scene where it's at Allison's dad's birthday party, and all of a sudden it like cuts, and Billy's on the stage asking her to marry him. What was not seen and was just clipped from the broadcast. I guess they were like, hey, we'll snip this and we can still have the episode on Paramount. It's the guy, the hometown boyfriend, gets on the stage and starts singing Elvis Costello's Allison.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
and man. Billy gets fucking jealous, like rightfully so, and like interrupts and he's like, oh yeah, oh Elvis Costello, how about you marry me, Allison?
That makes
sense.
Yeah. That makes such
sense. So big thanks to whoever filled me in with that online. I think it might have been someone on Blue Sky. Well done. Yeah, so that's going on. And hey, folks, we are still in the thick of it with Sheen Pro, the all Charlie Sheen affiliated movie month here on We Hate Movies, where tomorrow we're dropping a real fucking banger, dude.
Ugh.
We just bounce to Terminal Velocity.
The Skydiving News Network does come back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, don't worry about it.
Oh, yes. In a big, bad way. Big bad way.
What was that from our Drop Zone episode? Zone.
I realized, the only way, unless you're Wilford Brimley, the only way you get a theme month on this show is if one of your movies is a skydiving movie. So just FYI.
It's a big plus.
Them's the rules. But anyway, you can get Terminal Velocity ad-free on the Patreon at the $8 level and up if you don't want to be dealing with those commercials. So that's Tuesday. And then, of course, Thursday, back to our Star Trek recap show, Nexus, dropping this on Patreon. The single worst episode of TOS, I think.
Whew. Yes.
Yep.
For clarity, it's the one with Abraham Lincoln, if everyone is keeping score. Real just dog shit. But also the TNG episode Reunion. Hot. The Worf learning. Uh-oh, I have a fucking kid. God damn it, I should have wrapped up my Klingon penis. is what he calls it at all times.
Yeah, exactly.
My Klingon penis. That it's weird because it's like you get these sometimes on the Nexus where like the TOS is just rancid. And then the TNG, right where you want to be.
Well, so that's we're coming towards the end of the line on the TOS.
So we are.
Now we would be getting rid of the big turds. Whatever big turd ideas were there, they needed to be flushed.
Oh,
so there we get this.
Yeah. Am I remembering correctly? This, the TOS was written by Roddenberry.
Yeah, yes. I think so.
You're going to force your bad ideas into things? Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Last minute.
And we mentioned it at the top, but of course, this Friday, we're closing out the week with an all new, too old for this shit, covering X-Men 97. We're talking about the episodes Remember It, which was last week, and then Life Death Part 2, which will be airing this Wednesday. Very excited, especially to talk about Remember It. Obviously, we have not seen Life Death Part 2 yet, but like, man, oh man, this is some primo X-Men content.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling very lucky about that. And then Saturday we are releasing. Oh nope, that's oh geez,
every
that's
time.
We came to the end of the line. We weren't releasing anything. I thought we were, but it was just that great photograph.
But next Thursday we will be in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're talking about the gamer. He's a gamer. Right. Come on out.
That's right. Come on out and come out to Houston on May 14th. We're doing RoboCop 2, and obviously come out the next day, May 15th, for From Dusk Till Dawn. And by the way, if you're listening to this on audio, check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/WeHateMovies, so that you could watch this and see that picture that Andrew put up for everyone.
Of course.
Just to see that one picture. That's right, dude. But hell yeah, we are excited to get on the road next week, which, by the way, means no on-screen live next week. It'll be back when we get back from having a whole lot of fun in Atlanta. We hope to see you there at the City Winery 425, where we are going to talk gamer and return to the great city of Atlanta for the first time in 7 years. So we hope to see you next week. And if not, we'll see you the week after that here on Screen Live. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good week, folks. Bye-bye.